We're going to be preaching from Isaiah 46 today, the first 13 verses. And I'm going to read the first 13 verses for you. And when we go through these verses, we're going to go 1, 2, and 3, and then verses, or excuse me, we're going to go verses, yeah, we're going to go verses 1 and 2, and then we're going to not preach from 3 and 4, and we're going to go down through 5 and go down through the rest of those, and then I'm going to come back. And we're going to end with verses 3 and verses 4. And so let's all stand today. And again, this is the word of the Lord. And we can pray, we can sing, we can worship. But the very most important part of any church service is when we as a congregation go to the Scripture. The Scripture is on a different level than everything else. So it's not, what I'm saying is not important. It's what the Bible says. And so we're going to read from the Bible, read from God's Word, and that's what makes it important. This, I'm going to say one last comment before we read from this. This is Isaiah prophesying about the fall of the Babylonian kingdom. You say, well, Brother Wiggins, what's important about that? Well, the thing that's important about it is the Babylonian kingdom hadn't even risen yet. The Babylonian kingdom wouldn't rise for 150 years. And he prophesied about that Babylon would arise, that God would use that Babylon to punish Israel, and that Israel would go into captivity. And all you got to do is read the book of Daniel, and you got King Nebuchadnezzar, and all of that happened, just like Isaiah prophesied. And here, Isaiah is prophesying about the fall of Babylon, that they would come to power, be in power, and then they would fall. And so that's what this is talking about, the fall of Babylon. Let's go to verse 1. Bel bows down, Nebo stoops. I'm going to explain Baal and Nebo, it'll all make sense. Their idols are on beasts and livestock. Things you carry are borne as burdens on weary beasts. And believe it or not, that's going to be kind of interesting. They stoop, they bow down together. This is Baal and Nebo. They stoop, they bow down together. They cannot save the burden, but themselves go into captivity. Verse 3, listen to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel. Please notice it says remnant. This isn't Israel as a whole. These are the righteous, this is the righteous remnant that God is talking to. God is telling the righteous remnant, you know, you're going to go into this Babylonian captivity, but ultimately it's going to fall. So he goes, listen to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel who have been born by me before your birth, carried from the womb. Even to your old age, I am he, and to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, I will carry and will save. In verses 3 and 4, that is our main text today, but let's go on. To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be alike? So in other words, he's saying out of all of these idols, out of all of these false gods, to which one of them would you liken me and make equal with me or compare me to? Those who lavish gold, and then he starts talking about idolatry here in verse 6. He goes, those who lavish gold from the purse and weigh out silver in the scales, and hire a goldsmith, and he makes it into a god. Then they fall down and worship. I'll explain that verse. They lift it to their shoulders, they carry it, they set it in its place, and it stands there. It cannot move. This is talking about the idol that this goldsmith has made for them. It says that they carry it home, basically. It says they put it in a place, and it cannot move from its place. If one cries to it, it does not answer or save him from his trouble. Remember this and stand firm. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. Folks, there's only one God. There's only one God. For I am God, and there's none like me. Verse 10, declaring the end from the ancient times, yet things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. Verse 11 seems confusing, but I can explain it very easily. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of counsel from a far country, I have spoken and I will bring it to pass. I have purposed and I will do it. I will explain about that bird. Listen to me, you stubborn of heart, you who are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness. It is not far off. And my salvation will not delay. I will put salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. So if I can, everybody said amen to the reading of the word of the Lord. Amen. And if I can just preach for just a little while today, I want to talk about, and this will make sense, but carrying and being carried. Carrying and being carried. Let's go to the Lord. God, we're so thankful for you. We're thankful for your goodness and your mercy, your kindness. Lord, we need you, Lord. You do not need us, but we need you. And we are gathered in unison here today because we want to hear from your word. We want to know what your word has to say, God. Help us, Lord. Open our minds, open our hearts, God, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, you can be seated today. Amen. Verse 1 of this passage says that Bel bows down and Nebo stoops. And you say, well, Brother Wiggins, I don't know who Bel is and I don't know who Nebo is. Well, you got to understand, this was, like I said at the beginning of this reading, this is Isaiah prophesying about the fall of the Babylonian kingdom. Ironically, before the kingdom of Babylon had ever even risen. And the kingdom of Babylon would not arise for over 100 years after this. But it shows you how the Bible is so different from any other book that is used in other religions, whether Buddhism or Hinduism or Shintoism or any other religion, because the Bible stands alone in the accuracy of foretelling events before they occur. And so here is Isaiah talking about saying that the Babylonian kingdom, Nebuchadnezzar and all of them, is going to rise and then it's going to fall, which you get that all in the book of Daniel. And Baal, or the more common name that the Babylonians used, was Marduk. That was the primary god of the Babylonians. And Nebo, according to Babylonian religion, was his son. So they had Baal or Marduk that they worshipped, and they had Nebo, which would be his son, that they worshipped. And so these were the gods that the Babylonians praised and worshipped and saying, man, these are the ones that are responsible for us arising to power. And here in this verse, Isaiah is saying, not so fast, folks. Baal bows down. Nebo stoops. And this word where it says that Baal bows, you get this mental image in your mind of bowing down and worshiping. That's not what's being said here. This word is used in the Hebrew, is used for bowing down and worshiping, but it's also used when somebody throws themselves at somebody's feet begging for mercy because they're scared to death. You remember that story where Elijah called fire down and it consumed some men, and then the second group came up and they were arrogant and fire fell on them too, and then the third group came to get Elijah, and what did that guy do? He came and threw himself down at Elijah's feet. That's the same Hebrew word here. So here's this big powerful that they thought was powerful Babylonian god by the name of Baal. And it says basically he's scared and he's throwing himself at he's throwing himself down at somebody's feet. Amen. And when it says Nebo stoops, other translations call that cower or cringe. In other words, Baal is falling at somebody's feet and Nebo is hunkering down, just like, oh my goodness, like I'm scared. And let me just say, Jeremiah talked about this, and Jeremiah said in 51, Jeremiah chapter 51, he says, I will punish Baal in Babylon and take out of his mouth what he has swallowed. The nations will no longer flow to him. The wall of Babylon has fallen. So that's who Baal and Nebo are. And it says something here that's interesting. It says their idols are on beasts and livestock, things you carry. And you say, well, I don't understand. Well, think about it. How would you feel about having a god? Well, let's put it this way. Brian, you've been gone. I can pick on you for a while. Let's just say you were a multi-billionaire and you needed a bodyguard. How would you feel about having a bodyguard that's going to protect you, but he's so weak that he can't even get up and walk, and you have to carry him everywhere you go? That ain't going to happen. That ain't going to work. How would you feel about having a god? And this is what Isaiah is talking about. He says, these idols, these carved works, they've got to be carried. They don't even have the power to walk by themselves. They can't move around by themselves. They have to be carried. And he's saying, why would you trust? Why would you pray to a god that is so weak that you have to carry it everywhere you go? And in fact, I don't ever show videos in my preaching. I never do. This is something I don't do. But Carl Keup, this video, and before, while he's getting it ready, this is, and I don't want to offend anybody, this is a Catholic church service. And as you know, and again, if anybody is here today that has a Catholic background, I wish you nothing but love. I'm not here to sling mud. But as you know, we lived overseas, and Catholicism, they bow to statues. They worship statues. And that's a very integral part. I can remember going to Santiago de Compostela, and there was a statue there that so many people had kissed the feet of this statue that the toes were worn off. Okay? And I want to show you, you know, you get to thinking, okay, this is going to help me. I'm praying to this. It's going to help me. It's powerful. Well, how powerful are these? And Carl, key up this. This is, they've got a statue here. Catholic service here. Carrying the statue. Uh-oh. If you look over here, these nuns are horrified. These nuns are absolutely horrified. The statue cannot pick itself up, folks. They have to pick it up. Thank you, Carl. This is what Isaiah is talking about, folks. He says, why would you serve and bow to an idol that is so weak that you've got to carry it everywhere it goes? If it doesn't have power to walk from this room to the next, you're crazy thinking that it's got power to deliver you from your problems and your situations. When it can't even, as you saw right there, how can that statue deliver you when it couldn't even deliver itself? You hear what I'm saying today? You know what? Thank God. I want to serve the living God. Amen. We're not bound to the feet of a statue today. We're serving the living God. And we don't see Him, amen, but we're walking by faith. Praise God. Verse 2 says, they stoop and bow down together. This is talking about Nebo and Baal. It says, they cannot save the burden, but themselves go into captivity. Basically, that's Isaiah being like a sports announcer, giving the blow-by-blow, saying, Baal's collapsed and Nebo's crumpling, even now. And then I'm going to skip verse 3 and 4 for now. We're going to come back to it. And if you go to verse number 5, God says, to whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be alike? He says, to whom? God says, to whom will you liken me? I found out something, Brother Carl, this will interest you. Let me and Brother Carl just exchange a little moment here. You guys can eavesdrop. This will interest both of us, but maybe nobody else. Brother Carl, this word in the Hebrew is used in a very interesting way. And let me tell a little story to explain how it's used. Years ago, I was at, it was a dinner, you know, where you bring food and stuff, a bunch of people. And I had a person that I had gone to school with. And this person ran up to me at this dinner and said, Brother Tim. Or not Brother Tim. It wasn't brother. It was just Tim. Because it wasn't a church. I said, Tim, I want you to know your dad and brother came by and dropped off the food. And I got to meet them. I went over and met them. Shook their hands. And man, I love talking to them. You got a great brother and a great dad. And I said, well, how do you know that? Well, you've never seen my dad before. You've never seen my, did they come up to you? She said, no, I just saw him walk in and I just ran over to him. I said, but you've never met them. You've never seen them. And I've never showed you a photo of them. So how do you know? How did you know that was my dad? And the person looked at me and said, come on. Your dad, your brother, you, your faces, all the, hello, you. Says they walked in, and I just looked over, oh, that's Tim's dad and brother right there. Anybody, she goes, that was easy. She says, those foreheads are the same on all three of you guys. Another time, same thing happened. But it was my sister, Sherry. And the person told me, says, man, I walked up and met your sister the other day. Her name's Sherry. Man, she's neat. She is, man, she reminds, and I said, how did you, you've never seen her before. She said, oh, come on. I've known you for years. I'm going to recognize your sister. Well, Brother Carl, this word in the Hebrew where he says, to whom will you liken me, is the Hebrew word for the resemblance of a father to his son or to a relative that he looks like because he's related to them. In other words, God is saying, when you see, who are you going to say that I look like? Who are you going to say that I am like? Amen. Because listen, there was no God before me. Neither shall there be any God after me. He says in Isaiah 43, he says, I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. And yet, how are you going to liken me and say, oh, he's just like this Babylonian god Baal? Or he's just, no, folks, it's not like that. We are serving a God that is a one and only. He's an original. There's nobody, no thing like him. He alone is God. He alone. And I could spend a lot more time on that verse. But then it says in verse 6, it says, they lavish gold from the purse and weigh out silver in the scales and hire a goldsmith, and he makes it into a god. And then they fall down and worship him. And this is the foolishness of idolatry. And I know that we're not kneeling down to statues, but we're going to get this down to where it makes sense to us here. Imagine what he's talking about is they carry a bunch of gold coins to the goldsmith and say, okay, here, take all this gold and make me a god. And then the goldsmith takes some of that gold, sticks it in his own pocket, but don't be greedy. And the rest he makes is God. And he says, you're going to fall down and worship this God that was made by the goldsmith. Let me just put this in language that I can understand. How many grew up going camping? Not very many. Going camping. How many has ever lit a Coleman lantern? I actually, believe it or not, I don't want to say collect, because I don't have enough room, but I have some old Coleman lanterns, and I pick up one here. And I like to take them and restore them. And there's a particular lantern I've been hunting for a while, the Coleman 200A. And I haven't gotten the one I want. There's a bunch of them out there you can buy. They don't make them anymore. But they're called a birthday lantern. You say, Brother Wiggins, this has nothing to do with Isaiah. It will. What a birthday lantern is, you've heard of a birthday suit. Well, this is a lot more. This isn't nearly as scandalous. A birthday lantern, every Coleman lantern that's ever been made, if you've got one at home, go home and test me out. You can pick it up and look on the bottom, and you will see a two-digit code over here and a two-digit code over there. This two-digit code on the left side will either be a 01, a 02, or up to a 12. That is the month, and on the other side, that is the year. That is the month and the year that that lantern was made. And they call a birthday lantern one that is made the day, the month and year that you were born. That's called your birthday lantern. And someday I'm going to own a Coleman 200A made in August of 1963. I will own one of those ones. And it's going to cost me about $200 to get it, and I'll have to get it when Sister Wiggins isn't looking. But anyway, you say, Brother Wiggins, what does that have to do with Isaiah? Brother Robert, could you imagine making that gold idol and you just stamp the date on the bottom of it? And then here you are, Brother Lloyd, praying to this idol. You know, help me out of this problem. I've had this problem for, the last 30 years. God, help me, God, help me. And you're praying to that idol, and all of a sudden you think, wait a second. I've had this problem for the last 30 years, and you go and you pick up that idol and you look at the bottom and the dates that Robert stamped on it, that idol's only 3 years old. That's what Isaiah is saying here. Listen, he's the Alpha, he's the Omega, he's the beginning, the end, the first, and the last. He always has been, and he always will be. You're not going to find the date stamped on the Lord Jesus Christ. You hear what I'm saying? You're not going to find a date stamp there, because he had no beginning of days and he shall have no ending of days. He's eternal. And it says that in verse 7, it says they lift it to their shoulders and carry it. In other words, it has no power to walk. They set it in place. There it cannot move from its place. If one cries to it, it does not answer or save him. I want to tell you something. I would hate to be praying to a God that cannot hear me. I would hate the idea of the futility of praying to a God that does not have the power to do anything. And this is why it is so important, amen, that as Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, he says that you've always obeyed in my presence, but now only, not only in my presence, but in my absence, please work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Amen. You know what? The last thing you want to do is to be in a religious system, amen, that has no power to save you, no power to do anything from you. Listen, I'm not preaching a religious system to you today, because religious systems come and religious systems go, but the word of God's going to stand forever, and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is here to stay, folks. It's here to stay. I can remember once hearing some Mormons talking, and again, for somebody from Mormonism, I have nothing but love for Mormons. But it was two guys that found out that Mormonism had some huge problems, and they had been devout Mormons, and they came out of Mormonism. They were brother-in-laws. And they went back to their old stake president, which would be kind of like what your pastor would be. And they said, can we have lunch? And this stake president said, sure. And they had lunch. And we all know about Mormonism here. A lot of the falseness of what's taught in Mormonism. And they started laying out clear, irrefutable evidence about Joseph Smith having wives that were as young as 13 years old. That was the founder of the Mormon Church. He had one wife that was 13, one wife that was 14. They had clear, irrefutable evidence that some of Joseph Smith's wives were women that had been married to other men, and he had taken those women from those men. And you know what this stake president said? He had so bought into his religious system that he said, listen, if you give me a mountain of evidence, you will never change my mind. It doesn't matter what the evidence is. It doesn't matter what the facts are. I am going to believe in Mormonism, and it doesn't matter how much evidence you show me. You know what? I want to tell you something. That is the same thing as what this verse is talking about, that they're praying to a God that cannot answer them. They're praying to a God that is not going to hear them. And all I can say is, folks, let's make our calling and election sure. Let's work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And let's walk the Bible way. Not part of a religious system, but let's walk according to the Scripture. Let the Scripture alone determine our destiny. And if I could, I could go on. I've got another verse I wanted to get to, but let me go back up to verses 3 and 4. This is going to be the final part. I've got about another 10 minutes to preach here, and then we're all going to be done. But Isaiah 46, verses 3 and 4, he said, listen to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel. So in other words, this is the righteous remnant he's talking to. These are the ones that stayed true to God when the rest of the nation of Israel went into idolatry. And when the rest of Israel was bowing down and worshiping idols, there was a faithful remnant that said, no, we're going to serve the Lord. And he says, listen to me, house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, that righteous remnant, who have been born. Now, when we say born, B-O-R-N, that means like a baby, right? But what does B-O-R-N-E, what does that mean? I'm sorry? Carry. Says, who have been born by me from before your birth, carried from the womb, carried. You say, well, Brother Wiggins, what's the importance of that? Up in verse 1 that we read, it said that they had to carry their idols. Remember, these idols couldn't talk, couldn't walk, and you had to carry. They had to be born. They had to be carried about, whether you carried them on your shoulder or whether you put them on a donkey. They had to be carried. Here, the living God, in verse 3, he says, listen, you're not carrying me. I want to tell you what I'm doing. I'm carrying you. You know, the weight of me is not going to be on your shoulders. The weight of you is going to be on my shoulders. He's not a God that we have to carry around. He carries us around, folks. He carries us around. And listen to this wording. It says, who have been born by me from before your birth. You said, Brother Wiggins, what do you mean? Personal moment here between, I had a conversation with Carl, now let me have a conversation with my wife. Baby, remember how you've told me this story, and I think I've mentioned it here in church, about that you can remember as a young girl, your family didn't go to church, but even from a young girl, you felt something drawing you, you felt something calling you, and you said that you can remember living on Catalina Island, which is a little island off the coast of California. And I went there once with you. And baby, you took me to this sidewalk that had been down the street from where you used to live, and it had trees growing up. And maybe you stopped and you kind of got nostalgic and you said, this is where I used to talk to God. This is where I used to talk to God. Your mom did not go to church. Your dad did not go to church. Your grandparents didn't go to church. There was nobody, there was nothing to give you any desire, anything. And you as a little girl didn't know your right from your left, up from down, but still there was something drawing you. Still there was something, and you said, baby, I used to walk down this sidewalk here under these trees. I was just a little girl, but I would talk to God. This verse says, I'm going to take it one step further, and you're going to say, Brother Wiggins, I don't know if I believe this or not. All I can say is I'm giving you what the scripture says. It says, who have been carried by me before your birth. Baby, if I understand this scripture to mean right, even before walking under those trees on Catalina Island, even before you were born, when you were in your mother's womb, God's saying, okay, I'm going to put my hand on this one. I'm going to let this one, I'm going to show this one favor. So I don't know about you, but there's a beauty in that. That makes me realize that when I was young and stupid and yet in my sins, amen, there was a God in heaven that was saying, you know what? I'm going to draw him. I'm going to bring him out. He's too stupid to know what to do, but I'm going to draw him out. I'm going to call him out of darkness and I'm going to put him in my marvelous light. And look at this, verse 4. Even to your old age I am he, and to gray hairs. What does that mean? It means from cradle to grave. You're not going to wake up someday and God's not going to be there. You're not going to wake up someday and all of a sudden God has deserted you. No, he says, listen. He says, my hand's going to be on you while you're in your mother's womb, and it's going to be all the way to your old age. All the way until when the hairs are turning gray, I was God back then, and I'm going to be God when you get that age. I'm going to be the same. I'm not going to have changed. Everything about me is just like it was when you were talking to me under those trees on Catalina Island. When you were only 7 years old, 8 years old. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, the remnant of the house of Israel. I've carried you. I've carried you. I want to tell you the thing that's different about Christianity. And let's all stand today. The thing that's unique about Christianity. We saw that video today. They were carrying their statue. They were bearing the weight of their statue on their shoulders. And when one of them stumbled, and friend, we all do. You can say, well, that stupid priest, that guy, do you see how the way he went like this and it came off his shoulder? That idiot, man, get that dude out of here. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you really think you would do any better? If you do, you've a little too much of yourself. You're just as capable of making that mistake. I mean, could you imagine all these years and in front of everybody, you drop your God? Yeah, and everybody, you know, is, and it's because you know. But listen, we're all just as capable of making that same mistake. But God said the difference in Christianity is in other religions you carry the weight of your God on your shoulders. And Isaiah was saying, not so with this God. You won't carry him. He's going to carry you. Oh, thank God. Oh, thank God. Carrying and being carried. Last thing I'm going to say, and And this is for the doubters and the naysayers. You say, Brother Wiggins, if God's hand was on my life, then how come something really bad happened to me when I was a kid? I've pastored for a lot of years, folks. I've sat in the office and listened. And Sister Wiggins with me, as ladies, tears running down their cheeks, talk about being sexually abused as a child and how it's hurt them and it's taken them so many years. And you say, Brother Wiggins, if God's hand was always on me, then how come that happened to me when I was little? And I don't know any personal information, but I can guarantee you it's in this room. And I can guarantee you it's in multiple people in this room that that's happened to. And that thought has gone through your head of, well, how, if God's hand was always on me, if God was always taking delight in me, why did that happen to me, preacher? Well, all I can say is, you're a survivor. You're here to tell the tale. There's some that went through the same things that you went through, whether it be being raped as a child or whatever, that they never got to live to tell the tale. And here you are. And yeah, it might be a bad memory, but I want to tell you today, you're a survivor. God has allowed you to survive, and God's allowing you to overcome. And God's allowing you to close the chapter on that life to where you can say, listen, the scar might be still be here, but the pain is gone, friend. The scar remains, but the pain is gone. Oh, hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord today. God, I thank you, Jesus. God, I praise you, Lord. God, I bless your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, I love you, God. Lord, I love you, God. Let's gather around front today and just take a little bit of time to pray. Seek the Lord. Let's give thanks unto the Lord.
When I think about the He saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turned me around, how he placed my feet on solid ground. He saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turned me around, how he placed my feet on solid ground, it makes me wanna shout hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It makes me wanna shout hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turned me around, how he placed my on solid ground. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turned me around, how he placed my feet on solid ground, it makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turned me around, how he placed my feet on solid ground.
Let's worship the Lord today. God, I thank you, Jesus. God, I thank you, Jesus. God, I love you, Jesus. God, I bless your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. In one place in the scripture, he says, I have borne you or carried you on eagle's wings. We don't carry him. He carries us.